This is the security meeting, Security Committee meeting on August 7th, 2025. It's shortly, it's 11:07. And present here are myself, Linda Butler, Bill Gare, and a fellow board member, and Brandon Areno, head of security, our security sergeant. Andy, are you taking off?
I am.
Okay, and Amelia. So if everybody's ready.
I am ready.
That was the call to order. Any comments from the public?
I don't have any comments at this time.
Okay.
I didn't even see you.
Come on. Mr. Mike Martell, welcome. I didn't see you. Thank you for letting me know.
424. Between 2012 and 2014, the community held meetings with every single homeowners association, the Villas, RMA, CSD, developers. And in that meeting, what was applied was, in the FSA, a security fee was applied.
Okay.
So as of this day, CSD should have collected $164,200 of the 78 houses of the gardens and the 88 houses of the retreats. I've yet to see anything in writing or any comments about that money and if any of that money has been spent on security. There's really some specific things on security or that kind of stuff there, and it was agreed upon by all the parties that this money would be used in a certain way and not be allowed to use in other certain ways. Okay. So I see RMA, they're buying cameras for speeding out of the RMA's pot when there's $164,000 that should have been collected from CSD and been used community-wise with no boundaries. So two questions. One, I'd like to see an audit done to see where that money, if that money has been collected properly, if any of that money has been spent. Because I hear you talk about how we make the place safe and that kind of stuff there. And I've yet to see anybody follow through on that plan or association that was agreed upon in 2014, and I'd like pretty soon to see if there's any type of details to prevent some of the crimes and some of the stuff that's been going on. In the near future, when the residents, I think it's the Hills East and West, you guys are going to collect another $234,000 when that project has been completed. According to Bob Kyle, 68 houses will be built by next year, which means that's going to be about another $75,000 more. That's enough money to provide all the security cameras that we need for the whole community, that kind of stuff there. So I like to see something written or something. I like to see the plans, if they're following the plans that are developed and voted upon in 2014, or if you guys have developed new strategies or some new plans, that kind of stuff there. So that's my question. I haven't seen no audit. And just a comment on Mr. Gear. I do agree that sometimes boards make a mistake, but boards don't run the association. I think the community started having a problem with CSD when they could not produce an audit from Tom Heading and Mark Martin and Paula. And I would say for almost 18 months, everybody was asking for the audit to be completed so everybody knew what they were charged and what their stuff. So I think that's when the community started losing interest or started challenging some of the things that went on in the community. And it was the three amigos, but there was also two amigos on that board too, and different people were on that board when all this stuff passed. So not one person or two person was responsible. It's the staff that managed the district that occurs. So I'm hoping that I can get an answer on the audit, on a security audit, and those kind of funds. So
yeah, thank you.
Excuse me, can you tell me your name again?
Mike Martell.
Oh, thanks.
And that's in that agreement's in the FSA.
The agreement's in the 670 FSA.
Yeah.
Okay, now I know that was going to be my question, Mike. Thanks.
$1,200 for every new house built inside the gates. $750 for every house built outside the gates.
And that was, do you know the? I don't know if you know the answer to that, but that was restricted or unrestricted funds.
It was restricted funds
specifically for security.
For security equipment.
Yeah.
Not for personnel, not for some other stuff.
Security equipment.
Yes, there is a security reserve. Yes, we have collected money
I can't tell you. I mean, obviously, I'm not an accountant, but I will get you the, because this is our Public Records Act request.
$164,200.
The accounting for the that security fund and those security reserve fees that have been collected since 2014, is that?
Well, they didn't start building houses into the gardens. Then the money should be collected.
Right, which is 2019, 2020.
I think it was 2018, 2019.
Yeah, in 18, 19, yeah. They were done in, okay. Okay, so that's the first thing that you want. But then the second thing?
Well, there was a strategy that was developed with all the different parties. The village, the villas, the country club, the RMA, the CSD, and the developers all came together and they agreed upon how they're going to place the cameras, where the cameras are going to go. There are 68 camera locations that were approved at the time.
Yep.
And data from the different vandalism and other things that occur was supposed to direct it when the first cameras came in and that kind of stuff there. That was supposed to be done by data.
So it's supposed to be done by?
The cameras installation before the money, because the money was trickling in at the time, was supposed to be installed by data. And I haven't seen any of the cameras being installed for data.
Data?
Yeah. It was supposed to be the security reports that were reported on vandalism and different crimes was supposed to dictate which cameras are supposed to go first.
So then the second thing that you want to see in addition to an audit of how much money that we've received and where that money was spent and how much we currently have in the bank. The second thing is that is the second thing. Where those cameras were installed.
And are you guys have a plan? Have you modified the plan? Because the original plan has not been followed.
Thank you very much for your comments.
I'm going to make just a couple of quick comments. The camera part of this, I know, has been going on for years and was basically beefed up and... I'm trying to think of what year it might have been.
And
I was on the board, but
cameras were installed that go that look into the village, that intersection there. So camera was installed to look into the gardens, and then they didn't like where we installed it. And so I know some cameras have been installed, Mike.
Excuse me, Amelia. We'll get you the information. I just wanted to let you know that there are cameras and they're monitored, and they have helped us a great deal. So is that
I mean, Brandon,
that's good,
knows where they all are, and we work on them constantly. You know that too.
Okay, any other comments?
I do have public comment. Do you want to speak now, Marilyn?
No, whatever.
She wants to talk about traffic at the visitor gate.
Yeah.
Yep, this is the time.
Okay. This is the time. I've just been noticing
excuse me.
Many months.
Excuse me. What's your name, please?
Marilyn Halvin.
Thank you.
I've been noticing a lot of backup traffic at the north gate to where some people wait an hour to get through the gate. And it could be a combination of stuff because the security so-called guards there are maybe not trained or not are too new, or they get totally overwhelmed. Is there any way to have two people there when the holidays and when you know you're going to get a lot of traffic clear out to Jackson Road? There has to be a way to resolve that. It is frustrating for the visitors as well as the residents about this constant traffic problem. And I don't know whether you have to redesign the gate to make another way to get people in faster. But also I wanted to mention too, besides that, I've been hearing about the new development. I don't remember the name of it. In the north.
Residences.
The
residences?
Yeah. There are 160 lots going to be done.
There's 200 or 198 altogether, but right now there's development being done on about 30 of them.
I don't know.
I'm sorry, I don't know the number.
And there's a back and forth conversation on neighbors about.
On neighbors?
Yeah.
Next door.
Yeah. About it. And You know, nobody really knows about this situation. It's kind of been pushed aside because the buildings aren't going to be finished for a year or something. But the point is, that's a lot more traffic that's going to hit that north gate. And when it's fully built out, it's a disaster. And so then the county is saying they don't want to use the Escuela gate or a new gate that the developer should produce. I mean, where's the organization of that before it's a tragedy? Because I just can imagine all those new homeowners trying to get in the gate, the north gate. We already have a problem. So a lot of people are discussing it. They wonder. And it hasn't been publicly known. Obviously, you don't want a whole bunch of people getting upset about it. But it has to be done in advance. Some solution has to be done in advance. Being prepared for this additional traffic in a year and what we have to deal with right now.
Yeah.
That's my comment.
It's both for now and for later. No, I go ahead. Go ahead, Linda. Were you going to ask?
Oh, I was just going to make a couple comments, but it's a very big topic.
It is.
And it's we've had issues at the North Gate for the past few months, actually more than a few months, more like 6 or 8 months.
Yeah.
And we are, as you will hear today if you stay, not necessarily making changes to the gate, but making people and our gate staff sure that they understand and are aware of what the community's responsibility is in this, to make sure that you let your people who are coming, you know, whatever the process is. We're going to identify the process and try to get that information out to the community. We will get it out to the community, and hopefully they will pay attention. But just quickly, the North Gate seems to be the biggest problem, and of course that's because there's the most activity there. They're not going to rebuild the North Gate. and the situation has got to be dealt with here, and we're going to do that.
Yeah, well, it's just like procrastination as far as I can tell. It is a big item. It should be started right now, ahead of time. And I noticed
it is started.
Huh?
It is started.
Okay. And I noticed that the guards are kind of not being trained. They have different personalities. Some of them are bored until they get busy. And their attitude isn't exactly the best. So I don't know where these personnel comes from, but I don't think they're being trained.
Yeah.
I'd like to know why.
So Marilyn, hold on a second. You got time. You touched on three things. You touched on three things. One of them is the long backup at the gate. You know, back in June, before I was a board member, I posted a really lengthy post on Facebook, and of course, nobody replied to it. But what I said was that the gate backup, it goes all the way back to Scott Road, and it's really dangerous because you can have backup around that corner there. And then you get people trying to go through the stoplight, make a illegal U-turn, and come back, and they make a right turn, then make a U-turn, then go across, and they think they're going to, you know, game the system. And that's a really poor way to go. And what I recommended, I said, look, the backup comes because somebody shows up, you know, your cute little, not yours, but someone's cute little granddaughter shows up, and grandma did not put them on the list and did not get them a barcode, and did not call the gate. And so now the daughter shows up. Oh, hi, I'm here to see grandma. Who's that? I don't remember her address, but I know where she lives. And it's like, really, dude? And
so that's actually
okay,
what happens.
Okay, let me go through here and look up her name. What's her name? And that's why it takes 10 minutes per person.
So then that person should be parking their car and go into the office and wait till he can get rid of the rest of the... Yeah, past the other cars.
Go into the gatehouse.
What I recommended,
and the people that do it, you run out of parking spots.
I mean, we'd have to build a big parking lot, maybe a valet, and You can't, if you get up to the guard shack, you can't make a U-turn. There's an hour worth of traffic behind you. You couldn't back up if your life depended on it. So, I mean, what I recommended, I said, look, if somebody shows up and they don't have a barcode on their phone or a QR code on their phone, then we should fine the resident $10. And everybody, I'm probably sure everybody in this room is going to go, $10, you can't do that. And it's like, yeah, we can. And what we want is for you to download the app, which is very simple to do. I don't know anybody who doesn't have a smartphone these days. Download this app, use the app, and it would go away immediately. The other thing is that Brandon could get a second guard, and we could have a second. They'd have to have a phone and a laptop, at least an iPad, so that we could have two lanes for guests and one lane for residents. Because it's like 4 days a year, 4th of July, Mother's Day. So, but I hear you. It's a bad situation.
But what worries me is that this new development, they have to be responsible, and that the county is preventing this to happen. Approval, apparently.
Well, that's the second thing. I object. People say, "Oh, we can't turn this stone house into an entrance," and it's like,
why?
We'd have to make a left turn lane, and that's not rocket science, and we'd maybe have to buy a right-of-way, and we'd have to cut down some little mounds to the hill so you had line of sight. And you have to say, yes, we're going to turn that into a gate. And there's RMA guys who don't even want that to be an emergency gate, the RMA board members. So you need to go to RMA and speak up as well.
I will.
Let me just make a comment about that. When we blame the county... It is a county situation that is a county road, and there has to be certain specific things that are done in order to be able to use that gate. And some of it is we're dependent on the county doing it. And there has not been a lot of interest in the county making the appropriate changes, whatever they might be.
Maybe there should be a committee. Hey, you know, okay. You have to... The squeaky wheel gets attention.
And that would be an RMA situation.
It would be an RMA?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I thought it was a combination with the security.
Your third item was about the training and attitude of the guards. And that's something we're going to talk about. But, I mean, I don't know who they were or what was going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's always two sides of a story.
Yeah, well, I experienced it. That's why I'm bringing it up.
But it's, you know... We have, Brandon, what do we have?
Seven full-time officers, and then we have a total of 8 part-time officers.
Yeah, so, I mean, if you're getting a part-time officer, you get part-time training and part-time attitude. And the full-time guards cost more.
Benefits and everything.
But everybody has bought into this because of the gate.
Can we kind of table this a little bit until we get into the... message and the training what's happening with security,
yeah,
what has happened in the past, and what is going to be happening going forward.
Oh, that'd be nice. Also, there's conversation about them carrying a weapon. Has that been?
Not the gate officers.
Huh?
Not the gate officers. The patrol officers.
How many patrol officers do we have?
Currently, right now, we have two.
I think we need to get on topic again and... again, like
well,
I said,
security,
this is going to be discussed coming up.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Brandon, we're going to do the basic security report at the board meeting, so you don't need to go through that. And I think... generally speaking, we could probably start on the review security operations. How do you feel about that?
Review the security operations? Okay. That's fine.
Because that's going to be all the rest of this stuff.
Gotcha.
Okay. Let's talk about staffing.
So, Linda, do you want to make that just for this month that we won't review the security report? Do you want me to keep the security report in this committee packet?
Unless there's something that Brandon feels like we need to talk about.
I just wanted to bring up the operational updates on, you know, the stuff that I've worked on throughout the month, what we got completed.
Okay,
you know.
Yeah, okay. Sure.
like, let's just start it out. There's currently two available positions for the full-time security patrol officer. We have a total of 8 part-time officers and 7 full-time gate officers, 2 full-time patrol officers. We have 17 employees in total, 7 probationary employees. I conducted research to update our body cameras. Our current patrolized body cameras are outdated, and to get them to even operate is a little bit of a hassle. In a situation, I would like something that's a little bit better, easier to operate, and to activate when needed. So I looked into the cost of that, and it was pretty costly for the one that I wanted to go to, but the same company has one for a total cost of $2,000, which would be for 5 of them and
okay.
be a...
New cameras.
Be cheaper, yeah, and easier to operate. I've conducted interviews, and I'm continuing interviews all this week. I added patrol stops to the guys, to their tour of duties on what they need to do, which included district-owned properties and the lift stations. So that way, when there's a when there's an alarm at one of those lift stations, they could kind of help out in that situation, go monitor what's going on mm-hmm. over there. I updated the security patrol manual. I sent it to the union. 4th of July went well. Staff was utilized at both north and south gates. I at the north gate, I staffed 2 officers over there, and we utilized that iPad. And we conducted another lane for entry, and it made the 4th of July work really mm-hmm, well. Mm-hmm. So traffic never got backed up, and when it did, yeah, they're getting them right through. And I also spoke with ABDI about generating a report that could show the number of visitors per hour. And I thought that might be something that would, you know, I could start including my report if that's approved. And they said it'd be about a total cost of $250 to, I guess, format it and put it into the system, and that way it could be included in those monthly reports. That way we could see what our guys are actually doing per hour, how many vehicles are going through, checked in at that visitor lane per hour, and possibly maybe the resident lanes. That way we could kind of get a feel of how much traffic is, you know, at each gate. So I thought that might be something that could help
yeah,
us out.
Yeah, that's excellent, yeah.
And then I also ordered new AED pads to replace our expired ones. They're just on back order, so I'm currently just waiting for them to fill that order. And I also obtained quotes for CPR and first aid certifications for staff. So that way everybody gets CPR certified.
Okay.
And we will have all staff, all security and all operations staff. It's mandatory that they participate in that. And I think I only have one person, an admin, that doesn't want to. I just made that voluntary for them, but the rest of us are going to do it. So.
And I just want to make a comment. Brandon's only been here since April, and a lot of the things that were going on in security transpired before he got here. And he's basically picking up the pieces, and what the rest of some of what we're going to talk about here today is getting it organized, getting it taken, and looking back at some things that happened over the past year, and recognizing that security was not being handled in a way that it should have been. So anyway, thanks for your hard work. Oftentimes the person who's sitting in that chair has been doing a lot more than anybody knows or understands, and all of those things contribute to a better operation. So, yes,
will they be
Mike.
Performing first aid on residents?
I don't know.
We'll be certified.
I mean, if we're at that situation at that time, so
yeah.
Like if
yes,
it was needed in here, I would start CPR.
Right. So,
call 911 first if possible, but if we're in that area.
The patrol officers are gone. So you're mandatory that to be trained in first aid and CPR. So
that doesn't.
That's a new requirement, or is that just for?
That's a requirement. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's in the list of things that our security officers are going to be doing. It may be, you know, under certain circumstances.
So if they're trained and they don't perform that, because if you're a peace officer, you're trained as a peace officer.
They're not peace officers.
Well, that's the question I'm getting to. And you've been trained and you don't do anything that's subject for termination.
Right.
So, and you know that, the job you have, I know that. So if you're being trained, that's a requirement. So my suggestion, I think you need to look in your insurance carrier and find out what the obligation is or what not the obligation is.
Put that down.
For really the certification, if any member of the public had it, if you're CPR certified or you don't perform CPR on somebody, you could be held liable for not performing the CPR that you're certified to.
If you're not trained.
Can you speak into the microphone? Sorry, huh?
Sorry. But going back to that, what I was trying to say is if you get CPR certified and you don't act, say if a person needs CPR, then you could be held liable whether you have a position as security, law enforcement, or anything, a member of the public. Anybody could be held liable if they don't act in that kind of a situation.
What I heard was that we're required it, and we're paying for it. I think there's a nexus to that, where there's a requirement.
Very good.
So my suggestion is just take a peek at that.
I'll contact the insurance company. Okay. Thank you, Mike.
That's all I had.
Okay.
I do have a public comment on this topic, if you're accepting comments, ma'am.
Yep.
Which are yours?
I was curious if there's a reason there's suddenly two openings for patrol officers. Last month there's one. This month there's two. And now that's half the staff. Pardon?
Yeah. Okay. We were operating on three. Okay. One of those three quit, left, and we are interviewing to hire them, hire the replacement. Wait. In the discussion about staffing, you will see that we are actually hiring a fourth person for patrol, which is bare minimum, basically. And so there will be four full-time patrol people.
Okay. I was under the impression that at one point we did have four.
No? We did.
We did?
Yeah.
And now two of them are gone?
That's true.
I mean, and my question is there a reason?
He's being
is something
rehired.
Wrong?
One
retired?
And he's not being rehired, but we're replacing him. Okay. And the fourth person, we had to go through budget procedures, and we have just finished trying to figure out how many people we can afford, and we can afford a fourth person on patrol.
Okay. Now, like I said, I was in the impression at one point we actually did have four patrol.
We did.
Okay. And now two of them are gone?
Yeah, people don't stay at jobs forever.
Okay. So there's no something going wrong. It's just
People find
natural.
You know, whatever. Their life happens, and then they move on.
Okay. Are we going to start staffing?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. So we've hit some of these things already. Security budget has been, how shall I explain it? It's been a problem. It costs a great deal to provide security to the community. That having been said, we've had periods of time when we have not had Measure J requirements, I guess. I don't know if they're requirements or suggestions, but we operate on 24/7/365 or 7/24/365. That is, we're supposed to be covering that. We're not always able to do that, and it doesn't take into consideration things like vacations, sickness, vacancies. Whoops, excuse me. So the number of people that we have are the number of people that we have money for. And so in the gate officers, it's going to be seven gate officers and four part-time people. So I'm not exactly sure what else to say about that. The staffing has got to be, we have to budget for the staffing, and the staffing is what we can afford at this point. We've had periods of time when we've tried to get, we've tried to pass another measure, but it is what it is at this point. That's our budget. So I'm happy to be able to get back up to patrol at 4, ideally. Probably 5 would be the ideal situation. And then for gate officers, 8 more. Brandon, I don't know. When you make your schedules and do your planning, but what we're operating on now is 7 and 4 part-time people.
Well, I think that if we converted them all to the gate officers to full-time people for both the north and the south, the number would be 10. Because every time I've worked out staffing, if you're going to staff a position 24 hours a day every day of the year, that takes 5 people because mm-hmm. they get days off and vacation and medical and CPR training. So it would be 10, but like okay. you said, Linda, I mean, the budget's the budget, and you know, it's hard to go above what the budget is. Here we are in August, and I don't know when we start the budget cycle again, but it's a question of, you know, allocation. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah, you're exactly correct about 10, but we offset the other 3 with part-time employees. That's where we're getting that from.
Who Marilyn doesn't care for.
Well, again, we're going to do a little bit of backtracking to try to help people understand what happened.
It's a boring job, no doubt.
What? It's a boring job. A boring job. So that is where we are in terms of personnel.
Yeah.
7 and 4 part-time.
The question, if you can expose this, what do they get paid per hour?
Yes, they're non-exempt.
Per hour. What is the
You can look that up on the website. Would you like
I
me
don't
to
know
bring
that
a page up from the internet?
I don't.
I mean, I can do it in 1 second.
We can. Yeah. I don't. It's not on the agenda for discussion in terms of.
Well, Brandon, what does a gate officer get?
It depends on experience. There's 2 levels. There's gate officer 1 and gate officer 2. The top gate officer 1 position, I want to say, is about $21 an hour, and then it goes up to, maxes out at about $28. So.
Yeah, it starts at $16.77 for a gate officer 1, and the maximum for a gate officer 2 is $28.75. That's 2026.
Yep. They get paid enough, is what I was interested in. They're not leaving, they're not being paid enough.
Benefits. Well, maybe Brandon, what are the reasons for leaving? Why are people leaving?
Seeking better employment, honestly. Better pay. I mean, I know $28 does sound like a lot, but if you look at rent in Sacramento or anywhere else, it's over $2,000. You can't make $28 an hour and be living comfortably anymore. So if they do find a better job, or say if they have, they want to attend school to try to better themselves, some of them, that's what a lot of them do. Some of them are going to the sheriff's department. They're going to school for criminal justice. There's a lot of people trying to better themselves. This is, a lot of them I've seen, they kind of, it's like a stepping stone mm-hmm. into what they sure. want to get into. So that's pretty much the reason. Just like someone said earlier, not everybody stays at a job forever. So,
and is it the full-time people who are quitting or the part-time people?
It's mainly the part-time people. The full-time people, the ones that we do have full-time, they've been here a while. Like, we have Richard mm-hmm. Diaz that's been here since 91.
How about Karen?
Karen. Back in, like, probably 2000s or in the early 90s, even when I was walking around in Pampers. So, yeah, it's, you know, there's people that are comfortable and they will stay, and those are pretty much most of the full-time people.
And they get our benefit package, which is pretty
yeah.
sweet.
Yeah,
And that's part of the $28.
Yeah. And I've noticed, too, if you do start at this kind of job young, you don't really – to me, when I was young, I know benefits didn't matter. So some of those people, they're looking more for the, you know, the short term and not the long term. But now, me getting older, I kind of need my medical benefits.
Yeah.
We've often talked about the problems involved with having a security force and being so far away from the bulk of the population, let's put it that way. So distance is an issue. Some of the things that Brandon's talking about. This is a security, it's a security situation. It's not a police situation. These are not peace officers. We don't have a police force. We are dependent on Sacramento County sheriffs responding, and then we again have the same situation with them. They did redo their district, so to speak, and they are a little closer now because they come from Rancho Cordova instead of other parts of the county. It's still a distance, and it's also, you know, their scheduling, their timing, their the things that they're doing. It's not easy to set this up so that everybody can have everything they want. And if you really want a police force, we can do that. But that's a very costly situation. And I don't think people would like it if they had it, but that's just my opinion. I don't think we've ever really looked into the concept of having a police force. But
our cost for a police force, I did some back of the envelope stuff. Mm-hmm. If we wanted a police force, it would cost us about at least three times what we're paying now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, probably four times.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have, you know, the chiefs. They don't come chief of police. They don't come cheap, you know. And all the training. The guy's got to be post certified. And you drive down the highway, and the starting salary for a highway patrolman is like what, $85,000 a year? I mean, it's a lot of money.
Yep.
And I think we'd have to change our jurisdiction.
Yeah, there's a great deal that would be.
We'd have to go from being a CSD to being a city,
right?
Which is what El Dorado Hills is trying to do, and that's a couple million bucks right there,
okay,
from what I've read. I don't have a very strong grasp of that.
Okay. I do have a public comment when you're ready.
Mm-hmm. That's fine.
So one of the strategies of the cameras is there's 3,500 acres out here, and we anticipated that the population grows, there's going to be less time to patrol, and you'll be handling more situations. So I implore you to look at the camera, the strategies you put, and if you strategically put the cameras in mm-hmm. place, it's going to allow you to cut down on patrol time, or you're going to have evidence of a situation that occurred after the fact. Cameras never stop any crime from being committed, but it does allow you to bring
mm-hmm.
the person that's responsible for that behavior down. So the reason I brought that up, because I think you start installing these cameras, and it's going to be much more effective to do patrols. If you have less patrols, you almost need six patrols to do a full-time position with vacations and that kind of stuff
right
there. So if you're doing that four, you got to fill in the gaps. Cameras allow you to fill the gap, and it's a one-time cost.
Mm-hmm.
And Greenfield, if there's fiber optics that all of us paid for in the whole community, there should be no charge for us to hook up to Greenfield. That was the strategy. The only cost is the storage of the cameras for 90 days. That was one of the things we negotiated. So if you start employing at least in the cameras where you don't have to do patrols, like the back lights or different things that occur at the water supply, it's going to allow you to reduce your patrol time, and you still have evidence that nothing is wrong. So that was really the strategy
that has been the strategy for at least the last couple years. What is it? Maybe 3 years, Amelia. I know I was still on the board when we started instituting the use of cameras, and it has been immensely helpful.
Yeah.
Immensely helpful.
So if you get the money, I know the money. If the money's there,
it's there.
Continuation of, yeah, and getting RMA to help, you know, to cooperate with us too, and that's not really usually a problem for putting cameras in places that are homeowners association responsibilities.
Thank you.
Okay. I've lived here 35 years, and I've always felt safe, and it's one of the reasons I stayed after my husband died. But I asked Brandon the other day, is there anything in between? Is there anything in between what we're doing and a policeman? And basically there isn't. So we have to make the best use of our officers, patrol officers and gate officers. We have to make the best use of our time and our money. And some of what we're going to talk about today is going to be related to patrol officers and gate officers and their job responsibilities and their qualifications and their equipment. So I hope we can get to answer some of the questions and the frustrations that you have. As I said before about communication and the communication committee, one of the things that we have to do is engage the community. And I don't mean just about complaining, but understanding how to get your people through the gate faster. Understanding when you have a certain situation that we may or may not have a patrol officer who can respond or should respond. So those are the kinds of things that we're working on. Those are the kinds of things that we're trying to clarify, and we're going to go through some of it now if everybody's clear about what we're doing as far as staffing is concerned. Everybody okay with that?
Yeah.
Okay. So what happened, I'm trying to think of when I became aware of it. There were several months ago, 6 months ago, I'm thinking July. I know some of these documents are from July. There was no committee meetings happening at that point. We had Kelly Benitez, who had been a really helpful, really, from my opinion, a good security sergeant, took a lot of things like Brandon does and does what he can and did what he can with it, and was very interested and very concerned. It wasn't, like Brandon, not just an employee, but somebody who cares about the community. and so we had nothing. The Measure R had been rejected. There was no real supervision of the community, of the security department, except by the sergeant. And so Mark Matlich, who was the finance department director at the time, and I'm still not clear about why that was taken up as a project when he was in the middle of audits, but he took on security, and there were lots of issues that we are now correcting. So I'm going to go through what we ended up with, and we're going to hopefully eliminate that. And then go down some of the other job descriptions and see what we want to fix or change or whatever. The first thing that we are going to deal with was the last thing that we ended up with, and that was what we called Mark a CSO officer. And so at one point, I'm thinking it was at least July, maybe a little bit before, we were dealing with security patrol 1 and 2, and the gates we really didn't do much work on, but the security patrol 1 and 2 he was working on that in July of 2024. And then by the time December rolled around, they weren't called patrol officers anymore. They were called CSO officers. And the description of a CSO officer has virtually nothing to do with what our security guards are supposed to do. And if you look at the city of Roseville, for an example, some of that information was taken directly from that CSO description, and some of it, most of it is, as I said, not really related to anything that we're doing. And CSO officers are primarily connected through the police department, and so that is not what we have here. And the job description for that was basically ineffectual. It didn't relate to what we were doing. That was the last thing we had, and what I want to do today, it was never also approved by the
union,
sorry. So we can discuss this for a minute or so or longer if we need to, but I would like to recommend that this title and this job description be replaced.
Very good. I don't have any public comment. Do you have any comments on that, Bill?
No. I think you're absolutely right. Is that I think that we lost our way.
Yeah.
And we, I don't even know the people involved, but and I don't care. It's water under the bridge. But I think they tried to make our security department into something it's not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Linda just said, CSO is some happy retired person who tries to give it one look, and then they call, the sheriff's deputy to come. And we don't really do that. So,
or their police force.
Yeah, I remember.
Associated with.
Yeah, our security, three, four years ago, when I saw them, they were doing great. So if we could just go back to what we were doing, I think that we got the right guy for the job here. And,
I think so, too.
Everything would be much better. The only question, if we roll everything back to what we were doing 3 years ago, then I think that, the only question then is how many patrol officers do we have? Because, the one time I called patrol, they said, yeah, I'll be there in an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw there was comments on Nextdoor. There's an article on Nextdoor very similar to what I had happened last weekend. The comments were, and it's like, yeah, they just, you can't have a gate off, you can't have a patrol officer show up if there's none on duty, can you?
Right.
But that's going to take a reallocation of our budget. So mm-hmm.
One of the other things as far as the security gates are concerned is that there was a huge hiring of part-time people. And again, Brandon was not here for that. But the hiring of the part-time people, at least 10, possibly more than that, in an attempt to save money because we didn't have to provide them with basic benefits, et cetera. They did get sick time. But those folks, in some cases, were still high school students. And it was a very, how can I be polite? it was not a good situation. It was a period of time when many people were having, I have a stack of complaints about security and security gates, and we can't get through, and the gate, the fellas and girls are letting anybody in, or they're not paying attention, and they don't let anybody in. So that there was activity related to the gates for probably a couple months that were problematic, to say the least. And so that is not going to happen anymore because the job qualifications are going to change.
So
hopefully.
Can we go back just briefly to the CSO position? Is it the will of this committee and my instruction to take to the board an item, and the item will be to remove the CSO job position, change all the people, because when that job position came to be, all the security patrol officers were switched over to a CSO. So remove the CSO mm-hmm. position, switch those officers back to the patrol officer position,
right.
and
right.
it didn't change their pay, their benefits, their anything.
Nothing.
It was just a title change. Is that my
well,
direction?
Well, job responsibility or job description change.
Mm-hmm.
I said in it, job responsibilities or description change.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, no, I would agree with what you just said.
Yeah.
Okay.
So long as Brandon.
Yeah, that the CSO position, I mean, that all changed their job description. There's two different job descriptions. So if you go back to the security patrol officer position, and that would be, and it includes the equipment and everything, too, because that I mm-hmm. think that was the idea of the CSO position. It changed everything about what they were. So
yeah.
it unarmed them. It took everything away.
Oh,
and
mm-hmm.
so we just need
to change their uniforms.
Yeah, and changed exactly. So as long as we have some guidance on what we need to do going forward,
mm-hmm.
we could go ahead and get things rolling.
I'm freezing.
Let me turn that up for you.
Okay.
Okay, so we'll bring that back to the board for discussion. At which point, if there are changes that you want to make to the security patrol officer job description, we can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And currently, we have an approved security patrol officer one position from October 2021, and then they made a security patrol officer two position in 2021 as well, and that position was updated in 2024.
Thank you, Amelia. It's really helpful to have somebody like Amelia who does incredible job on researching and getting information. So what we need to do now is take a look at the 724 job descriptions.
For the patrol officer too. Yes.
Yeah.
Which was, anyway, that's good. Let's do it. I'm ready.
Yeah. Linda, you're looking at, I got one that says 626 and one that says 717.
Right. 626 was the,
was draft.
What do we call it? The redacted version?
The red line version.
The red line version. So there
okay.
were things added and some things taken out. And so the result of that was the actual
717-24. Okay.
Yeah, that's the most recently approved patrol officer two job position.
And, Brandon, you've seen this, right?
The
717?
It's the one that's up there right
yeah,
now, right?
Right.
Yep,
right.
Yeah.
I had some questions that we could probably discuss for a minute. In the initial, this is just two, right?
Yeah.
In the initial statement under summary, I questioned the statement where it says the following participate, but the position is responsible for the following, participate in and supervise the activities of assigned gate. Is that accurate? Is that, how much supervision do patrol officers actually do?
So for the most part, like when I started the first time, and I'm going to refer back to when I was here the first time, the patrol officer position was a position that was almost a supervisory position over the gates.
Mm-hmm.
So if the gates ever needed help or any kind of guidance on what to do in a certain situation, more so your patrol officer is your more seasoned officer.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, with times going on, there's gate officers that's been here and they could tell you how to do everything about
yeah,
this job.
Right.
But that was more so they would oversee the gates. They would go over there, give them their breaks and whatever they needed. So they would respond to any incidents that happened at the gate. Say if somebody, if there was like a gate runner, you know, the gate would let them know, like, hey, this guy's going down the parkway. I told him he can't come in. He's not on a list.
Mm-hmm.
More so, it's pretty accurate. Let's just
so you think this is a good statement to keep in, that it works. Okay. That answers that. What about the, has responsibility, this is the second bullet point, has responsibility for preserving evidence at the scenes of incidents, appears in court proceedings when summoned, and contacts responsible public safety agencies for dealing with potential criminal incidents. I know part of that is true, but I don't know that you all are expected to or have ever appeared in court?
Well, as a witness, yes.
As a witness,
you would. So when it says about preserving evidence, say if a crime occurred, like a traffic collision, Lord forbid, a homicide, something like that, I mean, basically the security officer's job would be to keep the public from, you know, touching the crime scene, removing any kind of evidence from that crime scene until local law enforcement gets there.
Okay, so you're comfortable with that?
Yes.
Okay. Performs traffic control assignments, covers gate officer shifts, enforces homeowner association non-ARC rules, assists with a variety of emergencies, and issues citations for misdemeanors. We don't issue citations.
We don't issue any kind of citation, criminal citations, misdemeanors.
So we need to take that out. So that whole sentence. Assists in a variety of emergencies, but the rest of it should go.
Yeah.
Okay. Prepares reports of incidents and observations, contact victims, witness, and suspects for additional information as required, identify suspects or vehicles involved in an incident, and secures voluntary statements from those suspected of involvement in incidents.
I mean, that one right there is kind of iffy with it, because we're not going to do a whole full-blown investigation. That's more so a law enforcement officer's job. We could take witness statements. We could take all that and forward it to the sheriff's department. However, the sheriff's department is going to want to speak to them personally.
Yeah. So prepares reports of incidents and observations. That we do basically anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah. Contact victims.
That's going to be a law enforcement's job.
Okay. Witnesses and suspects for additional information is required. So that whole sentence. Mm-hmm. Identify suspects or vehicles involved in an incident and secure voluntary statements from those suspected of involvement in an incident. None of that?
I don't think so, no.
Okay. Got any questions so far, Bill?
Nope. I think you're right. These are kind of small changes.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Disseminates current information to gate and patrol officers for assigned duties and ensures department rules and policies are followed.
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
Yeah, it's another bullet point. Disseminates current information to gate and patrol officers for assigned duties and ensures department rules and policies are followed.
Yes.
Yes, okay. Notifies agencies responsible for law enforcement and public health and safety when required and assists as directed.
Yes.
Participates in training new officers, assists officers in preparing reports, and performs initial review of prepared reports and maintains contact with law enforcement agencies.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Provides information and assistance to the public.
Yes.
And participates in departmental training programs, administration, crime prevention, community relations, and other assigned programs or functions. Yes.
Yes.
I don't know why I had a question mark next to that, but yes, I would assume that training in all those areas is necessary.
Mm-hmm.
And then preparing the general reports of field activities and perform special data gathering assignments. That's exactly what you do.
Yes.
Yeah. And the special data gathering assignments would probably include the cameras.
Yes.
Okay.
Or I would put in there CCTV monitoring.
Can you tell me that again?
CCTV monitoring. CCTV.
TV. Okay, so
you're writing this down.
As soon as we finish with this, you can tell me what that means. CCTV.
Closed circuit television.
Oh, closed circuit.
It's a surveillance system.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
I'll be right back.
Okay. Closed circuit TV. Okay. All right. qualifications and requirements, education and experience. All right, let's do the, let's just go in order of how it's in here. To perform this job successfully, an individual must be able to perform each essential duty satisfactorily. Requirements listed below are representative of the knowledge, skill, and or ability required. We are actually going to get into actual requirements, the job descriptions. Under that, it says skills. Use and care of firearms and other special equipment utilized in security and crime prevention. We're going to put that aside because we're going to talk about equipment separately, and firearms will be a part of that. The ability to supervise and participate in traffic control, incident investigation, training, administration, crime prevention, community relations, and other assigned programs and functions. Indirectly supervise, train, and evaluate the work of subordinates. Gather, assemble, analyze, and evaluate facts and evidence. Draw logical conclusions from information and make proper recommendations. Is that still okay? Are we still?
Yeah, like I said, the patrol officer 2 position, I'm not going to say it's exactly a supervisor, mm-hmm. but under me, they're like, say, like a senior patrol officer, I would have them on the hiring board when I do have my interviews. So that would actually, they should be able to evaluate how their counterparts are working. And stuff,
okay.
And things like that.
Okay. Exercise restraint and judgment in emergency situations. Demonstrate keen powers of observation and memory. Prepare clear, concise, and comprehensive written reports. Tactfully and effectively represent the district in public contexts. Establish and maintain cooperative working relations. I think those are all good, mm-hmm. good qualification requirements. Okay, education and or experience. Minimum education, high school diploma and or equivalent. 3 years of experience in security and crime prevention activities, preferably including
supervisory or lead work.
Where is it? I'm sorry.
Some supervisory or lead worker.
Some supervisory or lead worker experience. The 3 years of experience, it seems to me that one of the things that we should add to that experience in security and crime prevention, but also in some form of customer service. What's another word for it, Bill? Can you think of?
No,
I mean, customer service.
Customer service. I mean, that pretty much says it.
Yeah, an ability to relate to the residents that they're working, that we're serving.
Yeah, that's customer. Okay. Yeah, customer service.
I when we were going through the period of time when we were having so much trouble, one of the things that I talked to the department about before you was the very simple thing of, particularly when it comes to, you know, people getting impatient at the gate and all that sort of stuff. The first thing you say to somebody when they get to the gate is, good morning, good afternoon, you know, address them, address the residents. And then the second thing is, I'm sorry you've had to wait. And then just to try and get, and this would be part of the training situation, but to acknowledge that that you the resident exists, and that's a part of customer service. So that's definitely something that's in our training.
Yeah, customer service goes a long way. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am.
Yep.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
No, sir.
Right. Mike.
Just I like that idea. To go back to the Croatian 2. Are they doing supervisory reports?
I'm the one that completes the report, like
so
our monthly report.
So you're on your interview panel. Are they union?
Yeah, actually, the one that I have, he's not union. He chose not to be union. So, but the other one is.
So I had 2 questions for you, Brandon. It says 3 years of experience. And it also says below that possession of an associate's degree. Are you finding applicants that have that level of qualification?
Yes. There's some that have an associate's degree in criminal justice. There's a wide variety of them, whether it be work experience or educational experience.
Okay.
I like 3 years post high school. That is very helpful in terms of levels of maturity, et cetera. Certificates, licenses, and registrations. There's a long list. I appreciate Mr. Martel's question about CPR, and we need to get an answer for that.
Yeah. But what was the question?
They have to have a license. They have to be licensed to do CPR.
Oh, have a card?
Or trained, yeah.
Have a card, okay.
Yeah. And so the question is, you know, that Mike had was, if I'm...
What the rest of you carry?
If I'm... if we're talking about what Mike was saying was that if you've got the license or the credential, do you have to for
I don't, I mean, here we're talking opinions. I do not believe you have to unless you are a medical professional. The law is different. But, and it may be different for post-trained law enforcement officers, but for a security guard or for the district secretary, you have no legal obligation to provide CPR. That's my opinion, mm-hmm. but... We can.
One of the last times I took the CPR class, it said that if you're certified in CPR, you have to, you know, you have to.
You have to
do
it.
It's mm-hmm. kind of like an act, like a duty. But mm-hmm. I mean, although who's gonna, you know, question a whole room of people? Yeah. Do you have your certification or not? But.
My comment: if you're trained, and let's say you got.
Please cut them, because I can't hear it otherwise.
If you're trained and you're hired, and an incident happens, and you start performing on an individual, there's other things that play a part into this stuff. Let's say the person dies or that kind of stuff there. Let's say it just opens up for litigation. I would just contact your in-house lawyer to find out what's the do's and the don'ts, and so they can be given proper instructions.
Yeah, it's a lot different. I know when I was in corrections, I had to do CPR.
Corrections are different. I understand it, but
you know, yes, you do, Mike.
You're getting into patrol and observe, yeah. So you're putting a requirement on. And Ms. Mobley understands the same thing. Once you've got this as part of your training, it becomes more of an obligation versus a, you know, that kind of stuff there. Well, you got trained. You're required to do it. It's mandatory. Why didn't you perform it on, you know, that kind of stuff?
Right.
I would just get a little suggestion.
Check it out. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
And I understand it. It's a good thing to have, if somebody, especially if somebody gets sick, you know. But I would just thank you.
There's another piece of equipment that is.
Defib.
Yeah, right.
Defibrillator. Do we have defibrillators?
Yeah, the AEDs. There's one here in this office, and then there's one in my office. That's what I just ordered the new pads for.
Okay, so
I think that one in your office, I have to go back and look at that policy. I think that one's supposed to be in the patrol vehicle.
So does that certificates, licenses, and registrations, do you have to have a certificate to do that?
Or well, CPR,
ability
AED?
To acquire the American Red Cross basic first aid and CPR.
Right, but I'm talking about the monitor, the...
Yeah, the AED. Yeah, that comes with the CPR class.
Okay, mm-hmm. Okay, that's covered. Successful completion of the training... requirements listed in Section 832 of the California Penal Code.
Now this
what
was,
is that?
this is one of the requirements when I first started here,
mm-hmm.
and it's a post certification is what it is. It's about 40 or 80 hours of a post class for arrest, search, and seizures and firearm familiarization. So not only do the security officers carry a guard card plus their firearm permit and OC permit and their baton, but they also have had this additional training in a post-certified class, which, I mean, it doesn't hurt. Like I said, when I first got hired back in 2015, that was a requirement, just like it has in here. Now, going forward, I don't know if we want to keep it a requirement, because that not everybody that's a security guard in Sacramento is going to have this. It's only people that wanted to get into law enforcement that are going to get this. However, we could always have it in here and word it in a way that we could offer this type of training and send them to that class for further training. That way these guys are a little bit, you know, better trained in what they're doing out there.
Okay. I think it needs to be a little bit more, a little clearer, I mean, exactly what that means, the 832.
It's what defines a peace officer.
Yeah, I mean, no more than your water code. Your water grade one certificate, you know.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I want to say they probably had this in there when, you know, from the beginning of time almost of Rancho Marietta, because of the possibility of terroristic threats at the water facilities.
Right.
So it gives the security officer the powers to arrest and, you know, detain until law enforcement comes and picks them up, you know, the possibility of the
okay
of that kind of stuff.
So you're making the 832 a requirement for hire?
No, I'm not making it a requirement. This was already a requirement.
This is in here.
You, okay, sorry. the way the job description is written currently, 832 is a pre-employment requirement.
Yeah, it was, like I said, in 2015 when I was here. And this, when was this last updated, Amelia?
2021.
So they never took it out.
So, I mean, what do you think of the idea of saying, you know, I mean, you have a probationary period, so say you have to be 832 trained within 3 months after the end of your probationary period.
The probationary period is 1 year.
Yeah, it's one year, but also to get into that class, sometimes the class is full, so it could be prolonged. You know, you're going past, you know, it takes some time to get into that class. So, and if that's the case, that ought to be something that we would offer to them. And it would be, if it's a requirement by us, we should offer it to them. We should, you know, put them in, you know, let them work until we could get them into that class. Now, if I sign them up for that class and they choose not to take it, that's a different thing.
So we can't.
That seems reasonable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So keep it and just word it in a way that we offer it.
So we want to change the wording of the 832 to be within 3 months of hire, and the district will pay for that? How much does that cost?
I want to say that we would need to enroll them or try to get them enrolled, because like I said, when I try to, before I got this job, to get into that class, there's sometimes a waiting list for it, and they're going to put everybody, because there's like code enforcement officers, there's fire marshals and stuff that have to take this class. So they're going to put the people that work for the county and the state in those classes before. And if that class is full, you're not going to be able to get into it until they have an opening.
Sure.
So I would rather put it in a way that we would, you know, at some point they're going to be enrolled in this class, and we're going to have to be the ones to pay for it. Not because if we leave it as a requirement, you would never get anybody to apply. I did it because I wanted the job at the time, and I knew what it was going to take to get this job, so I went and did it, and it did take me some time to get into that class, but that's how enthusiastic and, you know, how driven I was to become an employee here at that time.
This is the job description that I currently have posted on Indeed. Are the people that you're interviewing, none of them have it.
Yeah.
So let's just say that.
You want to take that out?
I don't think we want to train them the day they get hired. And maybe if probation is a year long, maybe we'll, you know, the person's been here for 6 months and you have an idea that they're going to work out and they're going to stick around.
Yeah.
They're not searching Zillow in Arkansas every time they get a break.
Yeah.
You know, that maybe after they've been here for 6 months, we can
offer the
we
course.
Can offer it to them
and
realize that it might take 3 months to get them into class.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
How about that?
Yeah,
I like that.
Okay,
Bill.
All right, let's do that.
Okay, I'll reword that.
Okay.
So I'm going to send the committee and Brandon a red line version with the changes that you want to make to this.
Okay.
And then you're going to approve those changes, and then I'll take it to the board, if that's what you want me to do.
I think you should have Brandon do it.
Oh, I'm going to have Brandon approve these changes, and then we'll take it to the board.
Okay, perfect.
If you want us to take it
perfect.
To the board.
That's a great plan.
Okay.
All right.
Most of this is going to go to the board. I mean, this job description and whatever changes we make is going to go to the board as a discussion item. And then we're going to take it to HR, and then it's going to come back to the board for approval.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
So that.
Well, the first, we have to decide what kind of equipment we want them to carry.
Well, I know. That's going
to
happen.
Yeah, Linda so said she wanted to wait on
going back to that 832, I'm just to give the background of that. So to when you get that 832, you could work as a sheriff's security guard. That's the requirement for.
So
that's really, I'm just saying that's what it is, honestly.
Brandon and Amelia, I'm looking at this, and it's like, if we just move that sentence about successful completion, if we just move that down and made it a bullet point on the next item down,
okay.
It says must possess or successfully obtain before completion of probationary period, then that would.
Yeah.
That's really easy.
Yeah.
Easy is good.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's why you pay you the big bucks.
Oh, yeah.
And the ability to acquire American Red Cross basic first aid and cardio. Yeah, that's we already talked about that.
And I'll check with our insurance company.
Right.
And our legal counsel.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Physical demands, that's sort of self-explanatory, and the work environment, I think those are fine. Anybody have any questions about that?
I wanted to back up to the education. Are people coming in with 3 years of experience in security and crime prevention? Are they coming in with that?
Yes.
Box check? Okay.
And what we added to that was some that they should have customer service experience, you know, the ability to.
Okay. I'm sorry, I had to leave.
That's okay. The ability to engage with the residents or with the community. I saw some wording that would probably work in that situation. I'm not going to hunt for it right now, but.
Will you send that to me, Linda, or talk to me about it?
Right.
Okay.
I don't remember the cost.
I just Googled it.
Yes.
it looks like for the 832 training in California, it can vary between $160 to $500.
Okay.
But then after you get them trained, you're right, the sheriff's department is paying $20 more an hour, I think, or less. And, it's a sad situation that it's not solved.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things that Brandon threw in there or suggested was that after 6 months working for us while they're still on probation, that we would offer it if we could have a sense of the person staying for a while. I mean, you can't predict that stuff, and it is what it is. You have to kind of go along with what they're telling you. You know, yeah, I want to stay here. Yeah, I want to do this, you know. So I don't see how we can avoid some of the things that happen. Just
kind of like one of those things, you could catch a person and give them a fish, or you could teach them how to fish.
Right. We have had people come here, not during Brandon's tour of duty here, but we have had people come here, be completely trained, and not show up for the very first day that they were supposed to start their position.
Yeah.
It's just what happens. And so I'm very confident that Brandon is doing a stellar job of interviewing and helping people who are going to come here understand what it is that they're going to be doing, you know. Pardon me?
I'm sorry, say that again? Are we off the record? Well, it's being recorded, so.
Okay.
But come up to the microphone so that we can hear you.
The CSO thing, I kind of got excited about when I saw it. Actually, when I started with the Sheriff's Department, I started with the CSO. They sent me to SACPD CSO Academy. I wore a bulletproof vest and a uniform and drove around in a marked car. Anyway, I just thought that would be a nice little bridge for maybe the budget to have gate officer, CSO, obviously not armed, but they could then help with coverage at the gate if you needed it, you know, be cross-trained like the security officers are.
But
well, our patrol officers are cross-trained, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But would you, I kind of, no, I didn't follow. So the pay for the CSO is the same as the security officer or less?
Basically what they were going to do was the security patrol officers were going to be the CSO officers. They're just changing the job title on them. They were changing the job. They were changing the job title on them. It wasn't going to exactly be the CSO that like as you worked at. Mm-hmm. It was going to be our current security patrol officer. Okay. Just changing.
Because I wasn't armed as a CSO for South County.
No, they don't. Like I said, I looked at the city of Roseville because that was some of that was pulled directly from what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And the bottom line is that CSOs have a lot more reporting responsibility, and they are connected to either the sheriff's department or the city police. Mm-hmm. And so they respond to certain things, but they don't respond, you know, to other things. But they do connect with the city policemen. What do you call them, Brandon? They're non-sworn?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so they do, but they work, they basically work with and for.
Right, like I dusted for prints on burglaries, cold calls, missing persons.
And we
reports.
Don't have that situation.
Right, because it's not a law enforcement agency.
Right,
I get it.
Right.
But I was just like, oh, that would be great. But
it sounded like it would have been a good idea if it would have been what you were thinking about.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's what I did for a couple of years. But okay, that's all I've got.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, now the tough part. Let's talk about equipment and just get kind of a sense of where we want to go to the board with this. So there's firearms. There's batons. These are the things that we've talked about, Brandon, and that I've seen in other job descriptions. There's handcuffs. There's mace.
Is it mace or pepper spray we use?
It's the same thing.
Oh, same thing. Cool.
And then the other one begins with a T. Help me.
With baton? We don't have tasers right now.
No,
we don't have tasers.
But these are options, or these are possibilities.
I would like to add a taser.
Tasers. Wouldn't you say?
I would like to add the taser to one of the things that they carry.
And then the other possibility that we talked about was vests.
Yes.
They are...
I know you guys...
They used to call, I don't know if they still do, but bulletproof vests, and they are not bulletproof. They are... helpful for protecting your life if it's a handgun they're not going to protect you from an AR or whatever are.
To the caliber,
they're NIJ rated at different levels, depending on the different vests, and you can get some pretty good stuff these days.
Yeah, and you know, I'm sensing that one of the things about having that equipment is that gives the security patrol officer a sense of protection, and
it's also a deterrent too.
Deterrent,
you know, the first level of deterrent is going to be the vehicle. Once they step out, it's the uniform,
mm-hmm.
and then the further you examine that person, it's everything that they carry.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to prevent a lot of different things from happening, and that's the main job of a security officer, is to prevent. We don't want situations to happen. We don't want to have to respond to something and use these things at all. We want to prevent. Everything that happens in the community needs to be prevented. So, and then that's with whatever they carry, that's going to help with the situations that occur.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Okay.
Brandon, what's our track record been? I mean, you were here, then you left, then you came back, but you know, in the farthest reaches of your history here, how many times, because we used to be armed,
mm-hmm.
and so if you're armed, you know, the lesser included things, but in the past, how often was that misused?
Never, because everybody has, like I said, the 832 firearm familiarization, that's a post-certified class, and you know, you got firearm experience, correct? You know, anybody on that range, they're watching you. That range officer is going to watch you, so they're not even going to pass you if you don't know how to correctly handle a firearm. So anybody that's trained here that has their firearm, their guard card, their firearm permit, that 832 class, they know how to handle and use a firearm and safely and correctly.
And my second, you've been here since April. Were you here when there was a shooting over at the equestrian center?
I wasn't.
You were?
I wasn't, but one of my current patrol officers was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't ever even remember hearing an incident since I've been here where a patrol officer has taken their gun out of their holster.
Mm-mm. Nope. I can only name one time that I have is when I was getting approached by a guy brandishing a machete coming at me. And that was at when the Bel Air was a new development. Yeah. So that was the only one time I could really go back to.
Beth has a comment.
Hi. I think there was a firearm drawn once. I don't know if it was like up at Lake Clementia 10 years ago or more. You weren't here, I guess. I want to say Mike Martell was really ticked off about that happening. And if it wasn't Martell, then it was maybe. But I kind of remember.
About pulling the firearm?
Yeah. Yeah.
Beth, you're talking about by a security guard or by
one
a resident?
By one of the CSDs.
CSD? Okay.
One of the CSD guys had pulled their weapon, and I think ask Mike Martell about that. He may remember that. So I can say I really remember somebody with some clout like Mike would have been. He was really ticked off.
One of the other things that feeds into this or goes into this is the training manual and the observe and report. Help me. The observe and report part of what the job description is, and if there are things that we wouldn't do or go to, and you and I were even discussing some of this, but as a patrol officer, if you're going to observe and report, you really should go, but you should not, and maybe should is a strong word, but I guess what I'm trying to describe is that there's a lot of different situations that we're going to have our security patrol officers go to, but probably a smallish percentage of them are situations that you would be afraid, scared, concerned. One of the things that I hope that we can do at some point in time is have them work two people at a time. But I'm just not. I don't know what to say about it. Any comments about firearms? I think we need to hear it. And how it works in conjunction with the observe and report and the job duties. I mean, I'm going to suggest this. I don't know where I'm going to get with this, but I think that for our security patrol to have to deal with Bel Air issues, I think they need their own security. Yes, we will observe and report and we will patrol, but to have you getting involved or the patrol officers getting involved in some of the situations that happen now because we are more visible. There are many more situations where we have transients going back and forth and we have people know we're here. And if they don't, they'll find us. Raylan?
So this Bel Air and the shopping center people, do they pay security?
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
They kind of have to give them a service. Right.
Right, but yeah, but where I'm and I'm suggesting and hoping that we would have a chance and get an opportunity to work with them and say, you know, these are the limitations of what we can do. And so therefore, we are suggesting to you that they will not come in certain circumstances. Again, this is a suggestion. I have no idea where this is going to go with Bel Air folks and what they do.
Basically, if I could respond to that, our level of service to like Bel Air and the store owners over there, we're not what's that, theft? You know, we don't respond to any types
of
thefts
because
that's going to be after the thing. But if you've got something going on in the parking lot, whatever it may be, of course we'll come to that. But you know, we can't do any kind of theft prevention or anything inside of that. But the whole outside of that. Yeah, that's no problem.
Well, and I read, I think it was in the incidents of report where recently there was somebody breaking into cars in the parking lot of the Bel Air. And we observed it. Is that what happened? The patrol officer came?
I would have to go back and look at the reports.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Because that's one of those situations where...
you're talking about at the... the El Gallo,
no.
At the plaza. That's where that break-in occurred at.
Oh, is that right? Why did I think that was at the Bel Air?
Because they went and tried to the credit cards that they stole out of the vehicle. They took it over to Bel Air and tried to buy the gift cards.
Okay.
So that was a video camera footage
the video showed. Camera caught that going on.
Yes.
And we reported it to the sheriff's department.
Yes.
But we didn't answer to a.
It was reported to us secondhand from the owners.
I was, yeah.
But
anyway, I think that one of the things we need to do is talk to Bel Air.
Yeah.
And
I think a lot of what
get that cleared up.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I think a lot of what people need to understand that do live behind the gates and have property outside of the gates around here. This is a place of crime of opportunity.
Yeah,
exactly. You have law enforcement that's 30 minutes, 45 minutes mm-hmm. away, and mm-hmm. there's people that are, you know, criminals that know this.
Mm-hmm.
So security is really your guys' first line of defense. So the better we're able to do our job with whether the equipment, the observe and report, the level of service that we offer, it's something that I take personal when I want to be able to protect this community as best as I can. And by doing that, I want to be able to put my guys out there, you know, showing paint, and it's going to prevent everything. As long as they're not somewhere sleeping and they're doing their job duties and, you know, continuing patrol, it's going to help out. So, you know, anybody that robs liquor stores and stuff, they know this one's 30 minutes away. Cops are 45 minutes away. They're not going to come out here for that. So, unfortunately, that's the kind of world that we live in, and we kind of need to prepare ourselves for those type of situations as best as possible.
Bill?
No, I think I like what everybody's saying. It's 30 or 45 minutes no matter what, if you're calling a deputy, and it's like, I don't want my wife going over to Bel Air, you know, if something could happen and everybody knows it. And there's an uptick in transients over there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I mean, I haven't seen them in the last couple of months, but they're used to, you know, a year ago, there used to be, you know, broken down RVs there for weeks mm-hmm. at a time. Mm-hmm. And
yeah,
that's not why we moved here.
Yeah.
You know, so I know that the voters voted down Measure R, and I don't even remember how I voted for it, but somehow I think that we need to have a diligent security force who, I think you said it a couple of days ago, Brandon, that our security force is our first line of defense.
Yep.
They're not people who show up in a t-shirt with a smiley face on it, you know?
Exactly. And I mean, and that comes from trained individuals. It comes from the interviews I hold. You know, I only want people that have security experience and take it actually, you know, serious. I want somebody that has the same kind of compassion for the kind of job that I do. So, and that's the type of people I'm looking for, but I just need the help with the guidance of where we're going to go with our equipment, and that way I know exactly how I need to do my job.
No, and you know, a good friend of mine owned a very large alarm company in San Jose, and he said, you know, 3/4 of the calls I get are from people whose house got robbed the night before. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, that's how it is with our security force. Everybody, you know, it's safe out here. You walk around the lakes, everybody says hello. You know, somebody's dog may bark at you, but that's as bad as it gets. And you know, I think, well, but I think we need to protect ourselves.
So, in that long list of things, or relatively long list of things, batons. Do we need batons and firearms and mace? And
I believe we need everything. Like I said, each one of these is a deterrent, and it's going to prevent.
We're not supposed, for instance, handcuffs.
We're not supposed to touch people.
Exigent circumstances. If there's exigent circumstances where somebody needs to be arrested, say if a drunk driver hits a little girl, I'm not going to let the guy get away with it. How else am I going to detain him until the sheriffs get here? Handcuffs.
It's a citizen's arrest, correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
Okay. So here's my take on this. I think we need to take this to the board with the rest of the job description, and I'm going to call on you to describe what you think you need and why you think you need it. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Because this is not a decision that can be made lightly, number one, or by two people.
Yeah, and there's, I mean, I always love talking to my wife because sometimes we agree on everything and sometimes we're miles apart. And, you know, I was with Brandon, I was like, you know, 3 years ago everybody had guns and all the lesser included things. And she was like, oh, I don't know if you need guns. And I'm like, well, there was a shooting at the equestrian center. You probably don't want to, if they say shots are being fired, I'm not sure you're going to roll up being a security force. But I think the deputies would show up pretty quick if they could. But we haven't had any problems in the past. And like Brandon said, they are a deterrent. So, but like you said, Linda, we need to discuss it and figure out what we want to do.
Very good. I will add the changes to the job description, and I will also add the use of equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll put them on as separate items so that we can just talk about them separately.
Right.
And then I will make the equipment an action item.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that the board will take action on it at meeting. It could be a couple meetings down the road, but if it's on there as an action item, then if you do decide...
No, it has to go to HR before the board can vote on it.
Oh, for the job description. Let's take the equipment.
This is going to be part of the job description. Equipment is a part of the job description.
Then you want this job description to go to HR twice?
No. I want the whole job description to go to the board. And part of the discussion will be equipment.
Okay.
And qualifications. And then it
goes
should go
to HR.
Then it goes to HR and then it comes back to the board for a vote.
Okay. So it's going to go as an action item for updates to the job description for the patrol officer and updates to the equipment carried by a patrol officer. Yeah.
We're not voting on it this first time around. It's a discussion item.
So
they need to see what the changes are. And part of what the changes are going to be, because right now what they're looking at, even though we're not operating under it, is that CSO. And so we want to get rid of that, and we want
to
make sure that the job descriptions are up to date, that we know what we're doing, what we want to do, and as far as the job qualifications are concerned, and as far as equipment is concerned. I wanted to talk about that a bit separately, just because there's a lot involved, particularly in the equipment part of it. So I don't want to vote on anything. I want it to go to the board. I want the board to hear the whole thing, and then it goes to HR, so that we double check and make sure that we're doing everything legally right, et cetera. And then it should come back. Once we have approval from HR, then it should come back to the board, and then the board votes on it.
At what point will the board give us direction on what equipment they want the security officer?
Discussion. When they discuss it, when we discuss it, and they make a decision, then it will go into the whole job description packet.
I just have a question about that. Does this create a current conflict with the current job description we have posted for hiring right now or operating under? Or?
I'm not sure.
Because right now, our job's posted on our website. It's posted on Indeed. And still within...
It doesn't say anything about firearms or...
it's this job description, which says that you need to have these, you know, items or ability to get them.
Well, it says in it, the going back to the firearm part, the handling of firearms is in it.
Yeah, it doesn't say we have to have them do it or we don't have to have them do it. It's just that they should be qualified.
Okay.
So until we get decision from the whole board, I think, you know, I don't know how else to do it except to tell somebody we're in process and you may have to have firearm skills, abilities, licenses, whatever you have to have a firearm. Okay. I'm hoping that we can get this done relatively quickly so that whatever we come up with, we can put into place immediately within the next, at the most, 2 months.
So, in the meantime,
it's hard.
In the meantime, is there any kind of self protection that my guys could have something to carry, whether it be their pepper spray, baton, or they have nothing.
Do you have to have a license for pepper spray or taser? Taser, I think you do.
Everybody that we already all have licenses for that through the guard card.
Okay.
And. Firearm permits and
that's a good question. Just we have, because I'm looking online on the posted job description right now, but that's not really, if you will, regulatory. Where does it say, where is it written what Brandon can outfit the guards, the patrol officers with?
It goes into more detail in the MOU with what we're going to supply them with.
The union.
So the MOU, that's a union thing. And could Brandon make things that are permissible outside of the MOU, I think, is the question. I said permissible, not required.
So could we tell him today, let them have mace?
Yeah, mason collapsible batons.
Yeah, batons. And
what kind of batons do you currently have?
I don't know.
A baton?
Okay.
Yeah, collapsible batons. Yeah.
Oh, it is? Okay, we already have.
Yeah, we don't have those wooden sticks. And.
Okay, well, I just wanted to make sure that we didn't have to buy any more equipment.
No, I think each of the two guys that I have, they have batons, they have pepper spray, they do have handcuffs. I've just, under the... You know, the current guidance, I've just told them to wear bulletproof vests if they want to, and their body camera. That's the only thing that they have out there. So that's it.
It requires a card to carry a collapsible baton in California?
Mm-hmm.
It was. And then when I just took this guard card class, they're saying that the laws are changing to where you could even purchase brass knuckles. And, you know, they're making all that stuff legal now for civilian use. But as a security guard in a uniform, you must have a baton permit.
And is that part of the 832?
No, that's security guards and 832 is two separate things. One's post and one's security.
I don't even know if we can make that decision without the full board.
Which decision?
I'm sorry, I mean, I'm not trying to hold you up. I just want to make sure that we are...
No, I'm just wondering what is in writing that says what they will do? Because if it's in writing, then I think you're right. We do need the full board. But if it's just like, well, that's the way we've done it, boy, I wish I had a dollar for every time I heard somebody say, well, that's just the way we do it.
So I don't know of any place that it is specifically written that they will carry a firearm, mace, baton. It just alludes to that in
Is it required? Is it prohibited? Or is it permissible?
It's in our security procedure manual. That's the stuff that we shall carry.
Oh, okay.
Well, we'll carry.
So was it ever technically taken away?
When they switched from the...
To the CSO position.
To the CSO position. Which
was the description. It was a completely different job description.
But...
Well, you know what? They voted to approve that CSO position, but I would have to go back and listen to see if they voted to change all of those security patrol officers to CSOs, or if that was just something that management decided to do.
Mm-hmm. Right. General manager management.
Right. Mm-hmm. And if the board didn't vote on that, then management right now could decide to just change it back to patrol officers and we could go back to the way things were a year ago.
With the changes that we've looked at? I mean, that we've written down?
Well, I mean, because today is today and the board hasn't looked at or made the changes in the job description, they would go back to this job description. Right? If you want to make changes in the job description, okay, but that's in the future. If you want to, if you want to change those people back to a patrol officer from CSO, I'll talk to Patrick and see if that's okay. I'll listen back to that recording and see if there was any specific instruction given to staff to make that change in the positions. And if not, then management could decide to go back to this current job description
what we're looking for is
the board changes it.
I think what we're looking for is a temporary resolution to what they're going to carry temporarily. And so we haven't done any of those things yet, and we won't do them until the discussion, until the board meeting. So Brendan's asking, what can he do in between? I think maybe asking the lawyer would be helpful, but I don't know that he's going to know the answer either.
If it wasn't officially voted on, then it really didn't happen.
It was voted on.
It was voted to approve that job description. Was it voted on to make those security guards CSOs? Yeah. I don't know.
Where was the rules that we operated on just a couple of years ago where we provided the holster and they had to provide the gun?
Yeah, right.
Where was that removed from? Where does it say, hey, you guys can't carry guns anymore?
It was never done in writing, and it was done by
it was all verbal.
Finance.
Then it didn't happen. Right.
So with that being said, then what should I do? What should I do now?
Talk to Patrick. Well, I know what Patrick's going to say.
You know what Patrick's going to say? Don't do it, right?
He's a lawyer.
Yes, we have him for a reason.
Okay, so this is the current MOU that is in place, right? Which is a governing document. What will give them a handgun holster? This is the current one that's still in place, that those patrol officers are still going to get the handgun holster, the handcuff case, the magazine case, the pepper spray case, the baton holder, the belt keepers, the flashlight holder, the radio holder, handcuffs, pepper spray, baton. So if...
Does that include the gun?
No, ma'am. It does not include the gun.
They were always expected.
They get everything else but the gun. And they do get a uniform, too.
That has to be purchased by the employee, and then it has to be approved by the security the head of security on the firearm that they're carrying.
So if they didn't give instruction to staff to change those security patrols over to CSOs, it stands to reason that
we would
still
be operating under the yeah.
And that will still provide them this equipment. It doesn't say how they're going to use the equipment. It just says that we're going to provide it to them.
And then in 2 months, when you want to change it to what you want to do, Linda?
To go through this process, yeah. Then a decision will be made. Yeah, the way it happened, it should never have happened. And they came, the finance department manager came to, this was before Brendan, came to the staff, the security staff, and told them no more guns. Nothing in writing, nothing.
Not that I've ever seen.
No, nothing that we've ever seen. And so, so they said no under the CSO job description, no more guns.
Well, that didn't happen, did it?
I don't know.
But it did
not happen.
I will listen. I know what board meeting it was at. It won't take mm-hmm. me time to listen back mm-hmm. to that recording.
Right.
And see what your specific direction was.
Yeah. Okay.
Bill,
we'll ask Patrick.
Comments on that?
We'll ask Patrick, and then we'll get back to you as soon as we talk to him, Brandon. But I think this is the situation. Until we get through the changes, the CSO position was never really implemented, and therefore we'll go to what we've been doing in the past.
I just feel like after I left the first time,
what's that?
I feel like after I left the first time, some people should have just left it alone. We wouldn't be wherever.
Well, right. You're not alone in that thinking. You're not alone in that thinking. I mean, every once in a while, you really should review your job descriptions and all of that sort of stuff. But it was not done in any way that made any sense. How's that? So we have a direction.
I have a direction. Thank you. I like direction.
Okay. It wasn't as hard as I thought it was going to be, but it wasn't as easy as it could have been if things had been done a little bit differently. And as far as the security gate officers are concerned, my biggest concern is to make sure that we have people with experience and people with skills in communicating to our residents. And maturity, right, thank you very much. And then we're going to get when I say we, it's probably going to be you and me, into the training manual. And if there's any places where we think that we can do not just more training, but a specified type of training like customer relations, then we can work on that. But I think right now, I mean, we have some amazing people. We have Karen. We've got people who have been here years. Karen's been here 16 or 17 years. Mm-hmm. And who's the other fella? And David Labrato's been here seven or eight years.
David Labrato's been here almost as long as
we've been. We have some very lovely qualified people. We just went through a phase because of the situation that was pretty ugly, quite frankly. We're getting better. And for those of you who didn't come to the communications committee meeting, I don't blame you. It's 1:00 in the afternoon. I'm sorry it's taken us so long, but I feel like it's worth it. I mean, we have to do this. You can't just gloss over these things. But it's going to be much better. My own personal hope and feeling is that it's going to be much better. And hopefully we won't have to go through this again in the near future.
I feel like these are board decisions and that the board should be making them.
Sure.
But the committee is responsible for taking the information to the board.
Exactly. Yeah. For deciding what, you know, the package is to go to the board.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Trying to get it down to a reasonable
Okay, and so we're not going to take the gate officers to the board right now, just patrol. We'll tackle gate in a minute. We'll bring gate up later.
I thought we talked about the gate.
Didn't we decide that the gate officer position was fine?
Yeah.
You wanted to add more than 6 months customer experience when we talked about it.
What?
I'm sorry, I had to go. I had an emergency. I had to, right?
What gate officer position are you?
So the gate officer, for the gate officer one, the minimum qualifications are a high school. I'm bringing it up here. High school diploma or equivalent, 6 months of experience.
No, I don't. Yeah, I want that.
Right. I mean, that's what you expressed to me. So
right.
I wanted to make to see if you wanted
I'm
me to
sorry.
Take this up. Now for discussion with the board to make that change, or if you wanted to.
Yeah, I guess what I thought is that we would talk about that in with the whole job description qualifications part. And you're right, I missed that.
Okay.
So, I think everything else that we did was okay. 6 months is not even.
So what is what does the committee suggest?
I'm looking at. At least a year, maybe 2 years.
Okay.
Brandon?
Well, yeah. These are
2 years.
At least 2 years.
These are guidelines, and Brandon's going to pick the best qualified person, but we want to kind of shape
well,
it.
Well, there's a reason to have some specifics about qualifications because of what we've just been through.
Sure.
So.
Or an 18-year-old or a
19-year-old? No. At least a couple years after high school.
Okay, so then 2 years of the experience, changing that 6 months to 2 years.
And that includes customer service. I mean...
Requiring extensive public contact involving security and crime prevention functions is... Oh, that's just highly desirable.
Right.
That experience isn't even mandatory.
Right.
So,
but the 6 months...
And the 2 years is what is highly desirable for the gate officer to apply for the position.
Yeah, I think that's a good.
Yeah. So I'll just change it to 2 years for both. Yes.
Yeah.
Very good. Thank you. And so we'll have two job descriptions.
I'll
put them on the same item.
Right.
So we can talk about it. Okay. Thank you.
Okay, did we do it?
We just have to have direct comments.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Brandon, for your patience and your knowledge and information and your patience. We really appreciate it, and we really appreciate the energy and the effort that you're putting into this.
And I apologize if anything I say sounds like I'm debating it or anything.
No, absolutely not. No, we want to hear.
Yeah.
We have to hear.
Yeah,
we need to hear.
You need to speak up.
Right. Yeah. Thank you very much. And thank you, Bill. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for being on the committee. You know, I'm the chairman, but terrific. And so far, really great input. Appreciate it.
And thanks to the public for showing up.
Yeah, thank you. Okay. Beth.
Beth, do you have a comment?
But that's why we said 2 years. I mean, maybe. Yeah, I know. I don't know if we can.
I don't think we can do that.
You can't put that in.
Yeah, you can't put agent.
How come some jobs I wasn't able to get a job until 21? Like, you know.
Yeah, you can't be a
bartender. Is that because it's like a private...
you can't be a bartender.
Is that because it's like the private sector and not the government part? Or I never understood that.
Well, you can't be a bartender until you're 21.
It's just California labor law.
Oh, really?
I think so.
Well, actually...
That's about it.
Actually, you can get a permit to go to work while you're in high school.
Mm-hmm.
But it has to. You have to get teachers and people to sign off on it. And so technically, it's 16 or younger. Yeah, you could have a job. What was that? I can't hear you.
Virginia
Her son got his GED at 16.
Okay, right. And so, I know. That's...
Well, there...
I wish I could hear you.
I mean, all this is...
Can you come up and chat with us? We can't hear you. I'm sorry.
Or just ask the attorney if you can put her age in there.
No.
I don't think you can.
Just know when I do the hiring, it's going to be somebody that I feel is professional and is going to fit that job. That's it's the main part of it.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
That's it.
There we go.
So we'll stick with the 2 years.
Okay.
And
changing everything to 2 years.
We'll hope that everybody grows up between 18 and 20. Or 16 and 18. I don't know. The maturity thing is a really big issue with that. Yeah. Yeah, because I don't know too many 16-year-old kids who could manage the gate job. But okay.
All right.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Are
thank
we
you.
Adjourned?
We are adjourned. And thank you again for putting up with this and helping us get through it.
Cool. Thank you.